أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن للمتقين عند ربهم جنات النعيم أفنجعل المسلمين كالمجرمين ما لكم كيف تحكمون أم لكم كتاب فيه تدرسون إن لكم فيه لما تخيرون أم لكم أيمان علينا بالغة إلى يوم القيامة إن لكم لما تحكمون سلهم أيهم بذلك زعيم أم لهم شركاء فليأتوا بشركائهم إن كانوا صادقين صدق الله العظيم. In the previous ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the sinners, those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reject the bounties and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or disregard them. And of course, this is the normal way of explaining the hereafter and the blessings and the punishment of the hereafter in Quran al-Kareem, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about one side, He talks about the other side also. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the punishment, He would also mention the reward that the virtuous people will be getting. So after mentioning the punishment, although the whole surah, starting from the surah, it was about the disbelievers. And if the surah would just end at the punishment for disbelievers, there is nothing wrong with that. But out of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not want to close that door for anyone. And in spite of talking about the worst rejectors, those who disregarded the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, disrespected the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, they started accusing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and blaming him for anything and everything they could think of. After mentioning the punishment for those people, he's still keeping the door open for them and asking them to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the other side of it. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. Surely for the pious people, there will be gardens of bliss in the hereafter with the Lord. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. The virtuous people, they will be having gardens with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is telling us that the same people who are bad, if they would repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The door is always open. And there is no age limit or the limit of how much knowledge you have to have before you can become a pious person and God-fearing person. It is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He did not assign the number of years, that if you live for 60 years out of 60, at least 30 years, if not more, half of your life, you must have obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or this many percentage of your time, you must have obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no limit to that. And at the same time, there is no limit of knowledge that you must know this much before you can get into the Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going towards Uhud for the battle of Uhud. On his way, a Jew came to him, an old man, and he, after questioning about Islam, he embraced Islam. Then he went with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the battlefield. And he was murdered in the battlefield. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you people want to see a person who went into Jannah without performing a single sajdah, then that is the person who spent 60 or 70 years of his life rejecting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, opposing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, he takes the shahada that wipes up out all the kufr out of his heart, washes out all the sins of his records, goes to the battlefield with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gets murdered, and straight to the Jannah. So this is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he had never put those strict conditions that normally people in this world would put conditions. You like to get the citizenship of a country, you must have lived in that country for this long, you must fulfill certain requirements of the country. Over there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the permanent residency of Jannah and no requirement except, he says, follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it is for a minute, and the next moment the person gone out of this world. If the person came back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before his death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the doors are still open for the person, and the doors of the rahmah and doors of the Jannah are still open for this person. And really is a reminder for all of us when sometime we feel that I'm not a virtuous person. So let's then ask our souls, how far is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from us? How far is the rahmah of Allah from us? How far is the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from us? As some scholars have answered this question, they said, one step on your desires, if you step the first step on your desires, the second step will be in the Jannah. Which simply means, just control your desire and tell yourself that you're ready. And convince yourself that you're ready to leave all the evils away. You're ready and willing to give up everything that against the Sharia of Islam. The next step, you are a virtuous person. You are stepping towards the Jannah and into the Jannah. So these things are not far from us. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ Shall then we make the ones that are submissive like criminals? Should we make the Muslims like the criminals like Muslims? Really, the ayah, the wording of the ayah that says, should we make the Muslims like criminals? This is a way of expressing the feelings more strongly according to the Arabic language, whereas really the meaning of the ayah is, should we make the criminals like the believers, like those who are submissive, like the Muslims? And of course the question is no, that will never happen. Because the ayah before that is talking about Jannah, that virtuous people will have paradise in the Akhirah. When these ayahs were revealed, some kuffar of Quraysh, they went to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, and they said to them, that even if there is a Jannah in the Akhirah, and we'll get back to the life, we have to tell you this, that because we have more wealth than you people in this world, so in the Akhirah we'll have more than you people also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ Shall we make these criminals like the ones that are submissive? Of course, I would never do that. I would never give them in Akhirah what I would give the believers. مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ What is the matter with you? How do you people judge? This is the right way of judging? That in this world, every person, that people will keep on doing wrong to others, and even after death, the same wrongdoers will still be in power? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, not anymore. Maliki yawm al-deen. There is an owner of the day of judgment who will be controlling everything over there. And in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given us some... He opened the room for us. He gave us some power and strength to do certain things how we want. But of course, in the Akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow any person to do anything the way he wants, everything will be the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it. As in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Should we make the criminals like the Muslims? We are not going to make the criminals like Muslims. But many times, unfortunately, people, when they look at the situation of the people in this world, and we start comparing, many people come up with a question and sometimes with an objection that how come the disbelievers, kuffar, are in a better situation than the Muslims? For politicians, they find that the kuffar are having more strength and power. For normal people, we find that they have more wealth than us. And the person comes up right away with this question, and the question pops up in the mind that how come that these people are having more than us? No matter how bad we are, still we worship Allah. Still we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Still we perform the salah. Whereas these people are not doing none of these things. So how come they are having a better time than the Muslims? And they are getting more blessed than Muslims. Remember, the first thing is to compare ourselves with the kuffar is our mistake. It's our mistake to start comparing ourselves with the disbelievers. And think that if they have more wealth, then they are more blessed than us. Wal a'yazu billah. We have forgot what the real blessing is. It's just like a child. If someone will give a child a candy, and then there were two children, he takes one of the children for dinner, and he gives another child a candy. The other child who was taken for a dinner, he might complain, how come he did not give me the candy? That candy is more important to him than the dinner. But this person really wanted to give that child only something that worth 20 cents, 25 cents, and he wants to take the other child that he loves, he wants to take him for a dinner. But this child who was taken for the dinner thinks and feels that he got something better than I got. He has something better than I do. He got a candy, I never got a candy. I don't care about the dinner. This is exactly what's happening in this world. These people are getting a candy. Get some money and get away. Just keep on getting the money, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, is telling them, I know what I'll give you later on. But for the believers, He wants to give them the food. He wants to give them some nourishment, the real food. Something that will benefit them. So He gives us what is really beneficial for us. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, sometime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give a person a lot of wealth. That person is working too hard to get all of that wealth and to deserve it also according to his work. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give him all of that. Does not give him as much as he's working for. The reason is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if Allah will give him all what he's working for, this person might lose his deen and his iman because of that. Allah knows it's not good for this person to have more than what he has. This is the amount that's enough for this person. If he will get more than this, he may not remain in iman and in Islam anymore. So it's better for him not to get anymore. So I was saying we should never really compare ourselves with disbelievers. But at the same time, if the question comes to the mind, the answer is still there. The answer is there in Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find the very clear answer in Surah Al-Zukhruf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. If this wasn't a fact, that even Muslims will turn away from Islam. لجعلنا لمن يكفر بالرحمن لبيوتهم سقفا من فضة ومعارج عليها يظهرون. I would give the disbelievers houses made out of gold and silver. But if I would start giving them houses made out of gold and silver, even the Muslims will say, let's turn away from Islam to get that house that's made out of gold and silver. How many of us, when we find that I'll make some extra money and I'll be able to keep my job, we miss some of our prayers? We miss some of the most important obligations of our deen. Why? To get some of that. So this is really a fact what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that if you would see that a person, as soon as he rejects La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, now you get a house made out of gold and silver. And if you say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, same drywall and dust and house made out of these drywalls and 2x4s. So of course, majority of the people will be running that direction. Just like, unfortunately, we see ourselves doing it. So that is the difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to give the believers everything in this world, because He wants the believers to control themselves, to know, to learn how to control their desires for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they can get rewarded in the akhirah. And He wants to give the disbelievers everything in this life, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'mini wa jannatul kafir." This world is a paradise for the disbeliever, and is a prison for a mu'min. For a mu'min, this is a prison. Really, compare ourselves and compare this world with the ayahs of the Quran al-Kareem that talk about Jannah. We'll say, I don't need none of these things. For a kafir, this is everything he's getting. This is Jannah. Because every benefit he is going to get, that will be only in this world. After this life, that's it. No more benefits. No more comfort. Sometimes, really, when I think about it, and I see some people who might just look from the outlook, subhanAllah, what's in the heart? You don't know what the hell will be going through his mind and his heart, and the hardship that he's suffering in spite of whatever he has. But from the outlook, when you look at a person and you feel that he has so much, and then you think about the punishment of the akhirah, if he won't come to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you feel really, with everything that he has, is still, this is a prison for him. This is nothing. And if this, just this life is a jannah and this is everything he's getting, then he's really a loser. With all the punishment that's there in the akhirah, he rather gives away everything in this life and gets it in the akhirah, because this is nothing comparing to what we are supposed to get in the akhirah. So I was mentioning, if that question comes to mind, then this is the answer. And at the same time, we need to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to give the mu'mineen, just keep on giving them in this world as they work for it, because He wants to shake us up sometime. He wants to remind us sometime that you should not be going in the wrong direction. We all occasionally, because of what we start getting, when Allah opens the doors of the rizq and the rahmah for us, we start getting carried away. And this wealth is something that comes with its own evils. So we start going away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shakes the person up, that you are not supposed to be following those people. Don't follow their steps. Come back. And He brings us back. There is a tafsir al-Tha'alibi, written by Imam, that was called Imam Tha'alibi rahimahullah. He have narrated a very amazing incident in his tafsir, that there were two brothers, and both of them, they inherited 4,000 dinar of that time each from their father. So altogether they had 8,000, they got 4,000 each. One of them was very virtuous, God-fearing. The other was more towards the worldly gain. So, when both of them got their shares, the one that was more thinking just of this dunya, and he even turned away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa la'ayazu billah. So he went and he bought a nice home, nice castle, we should say, for 1,000 dinar. So when his brother saw him buying a house for 1,000 dinar, he started giving charity out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave charity 1,000 dinar, saying, "Ya Allah, my brother bought a house in this world for the 1,000 dinar. I'm buying a house from you in Jannah for the 1,000 dinar." And he gave it as a charity. After some time, his brother started a business and he spent 1,000 dinar in that business. So now this brother, also looking at his brother starting a business, he went and spent another 1,000 dinar in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And same thing, making dua to Allah, "Ya Allah, he started a business in this world, I am buying something from you in the Jannah. Ya Allah, give me something better than what he has in the Jannah for this 1,000 dinar." And he spent 1,000 dinar out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the brother got married. And because people knew that he inherited 4,000 dinar and must be a good amount of that time, and now he has a business, he has a nice castle, so he got married to a wealthy woman and he spent that 1,000 dinar in that marriage. So his brother also went and he went and spent 1,000 dinar again in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, "Ya Allah, all what I read in the Quran and the ayahs in the books of Allah about hur, Ya Allah, I'm buying that in the Jannah for these 1,000 dinar." Now, that brother is spending the rest. He has one more 1,000, so he's spending it for the rest of the necessities of the life. So this brother went and he spent those 1,000 also in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, "Ya Allah, this is so that you can protect me against the evils in the Akhirah and to fulfill everything that I need, all of my need in the Akhirah with these 1,000 dinars." Now the test came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometime we give so that Allah will give us more. It's not to please Him. We give with the intention that I'm giving 1,000 today so that tomorrow I'll get $2,000 back. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that the iman of the person is strong, He would like us to get even stronger so that we get even higher status in the Akhirah. This is again a rahmah of Allah. So He made this person go through some test. That brother became very prosperous. Successful business, nice castle, good wife. He has everything he needs. And this person, after giving out all of this, he did not have anything else. So instead he went out looking for work. So he said to himself, "Let me go and work at my brother's business, at his factory." So he went to his brother and asked him if he can do some work for him and make some money, because he was in need. So the brother asked him, "What did you do with all of those 4,000? He explained the whole situation to him. He said, "A person like you doesn't deserve to get anything. I have nothing for you. Because whatever you get, I don't know if you would know how to use it properly. See, I used it the right way, and this is what I got. And here you're saying that you used it for all of those things. You used it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where is all the promises? You got nothing out of it. Now you just have to go out and beg people for it." Then he showed him, pointed towards an idol that was sitting in his home. He said, "Look at that idol. I worship that idol. And this is my Lord. And He gave me all of this. What did your Lord give you?" A big test for a person. In normal situation, people like us, especially nowadays, we find people, we are getting ourselves, I'm not talking about others, we are getting so weak with our iman and our deen that few objections from non-believers and disbelievers make us lose everything. Just like you hear a lot of people say, we should have one Eid. Why? Because the kuffar laugh at us. MashaAllah, good reason. So tomorrow if they will laugh at you, you are going to make Fajr with all the other countries? Because they laugh at you. And because they laugh at us, this is why many times we miss our Salah also. Because they laugh at us. So the laugh really makes the whole more important than the whole revelation. Just one laugh will make us change everything. And here's hundreds of ayahs are not able to make us do something right. We are getting too weak with our iman. These things that have no effect on deen and iman are very easily changing the deen and iman. And the real sources of deen, we never care to learn them and to find out what do they say about these parts of deen. So, he's making fun of them, he's laughing at him. So finally, they got into an argument. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really putting the person on test. They got into an argument, and that brother, the wealthy brother, he liked fishing. So he was ready to go out for fishing, so he says to his brother, you know, forget about all of this. I'm going out for fishing. I'm not giving you nothing. But all I can do is, I'll give you a hook also for fishing. Let's go together. And see who catches more fish. If you catch more fish, then your deen is better than mine. And if I catch more, then my deen is better than yours. So he said to him, you know, this fish is not supposed to decide which religion is better. A very wise saying. Fish is not supposed to decide whose religion is better. Religion is decided by the instructions given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no importance of this worldly gain to make this worldly gain decide which deen is better. In other words, the brother is offering him, whoever has more wealth, makes more money, gets more fish, that's the person who is following the right deen. And the person who gets less money, less wealth, less fish, then that's the person who is not following the right deen. So he explained to him, he said, this is not the way. But he kept on forcing him and insisting on him, let's go out for fishing and let's try. They went out for fishing. The brother who was rejecting deen, the wealthy brother, each time he throws the hook in, he gets a fish. The other brother is standing there with his hook, gets nothing. The whole day they are with standing over there. This brother gets nothing, the other brother is having whole bucket or whatever they had full of fish. The angel who was with this Muslim brother, he couldn't take it anymore and he said, Ya Allah, what's going on? This poor man has spent all of his wealth for your sake. He gave away everything, yet he is not complaining. He has no objection. He goes to his brother for work and he rejected him. Now they come out for fishing. And still that person gets more than him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another angel to him. That take this angel and show him the places of both the brothers in the hereafter. When he was taken and he was shown the place of the brother who was rejecting in the hellfire. And the place of the brother who's going through all of these hardships and his place in the Jannah. After seeing those places, he said, Ya Allah, even if he would starve to death and get nothing in this world, still he is in much better situation and position than the other person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything. The only problem is these things, because they are hidden from us. They are not far from us. It's only they are hidden from us. Because they are hidden from us, so we are, sometimes we forget the realities that is behind it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing everything. He can see that here, this is the Jannah. It might be next moment, it might be next day, 2 days later, 4 days later, that this person is dying and is getting over there. So let him go through these hardships for these 4 or 5 days. We do it to ourselves. We might work so hard for 4 or 5 days if I know that I will be getting 2 weeks off if I work. They ask me, if you finish this work in this time, then I will give you 2 weeks off. So we'll make sure that we work very hard so that we achieve what we want, and we work day and night so that we can get the 2 weeks off. Just to get the 2 weeks off, we might reduce the amount of our rest, food, and we will not even fulfill the necessary needs of our home and our family, because we are saying, you know, it's only 4 days and then I'll be getting 2 weeks off, then we can do whatever we want. Here is not only 2 weeks. Eternal life over there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees it, that this life is going very fast. And is seeing the place that the mu'min is going in the akhirah. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let the believer go through some hardships in this world. That is a test for the believer. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, He can just open all the doors of the rahmah and the doors of the victory and doors of the wealth out wide open for the believers, and we keep on getting everything, then where is the test? تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Life and death is to test you, to see who does the better deeds. So if we are getting everything, then there is no test there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Do you think we will make the criminals like the Muslims, like the ones who are submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. What's the matter with you? How do you people judge? أَمْ لَكُمْ كِتَابٌ فِيهِ تَدْرُسُونَ. Or do you have a book that you read from? إِنَّ لَكُمْ فِيهِ لَمَا تَخَيَّرُونَ. In which you find whatever you desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the kuffar of Quraysh, and generally the disbelievers, that do you have a book that you people read from, like other than Quran, other than the divine books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told you that you will get the Jannah and you will get all of these blessings even in the Akhirah? Because they were claiming, just like the Jews used to say, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. They used to say, we are the children of Allah and we are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started inviting the Jews to Islam, look at the miraculous way Quran put things together. They rejected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said, why should we believe in you? What is it that we are getting by believing in you? You are getting the Jannah, you are getting all of these things in the Akhirah, you will be saving yourself from the punishment. They said, no, we don't have to worry about none of those things, because we already have been guaranteed the Jannah. So the ayah of Quran al-Kareem was revealed. And look at this challenge. No one else but Allah can put this challenge up to the people. Okay, if you think that you're going straight to Jannah, and this is what you believe, then فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Then just wish to die. Just wish for your death if you are truthful. And now all of them are running away. And it says in the Tafsir that it was a challenge for them at that time, that whoever out of you or Jews will wish to die will come up front and say, okay, I wish to die. That person will die right away. Now no one wants to do it. So the same people who are saying, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ, we are the children of Allah. Don't you want to go and see your father? So just all you have to do is just wish to die. And next moment you will be out. And then you'll find out what you get over there. And they also knew what they will be getting over there. This is why none of them, not a single Jew, dared to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, I wish to die. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةً. Each of them hopes to live for 1,000 years. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is it that they would get even after 1,000 years? وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَنْ يُعَمَّرُ. Even getting 1,000 years is not going to save him from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if even 1,000 years, after even 1,000 years, the person is going to the same destination, then even if he would live 1,000,000 years, he's not getting nothing good out of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ لَكُمْ كِتَابٌ فِيهِ تَدْرُسُونَ. Do you people have a book that you read from? إِنَّ لَكُمْ فِيهِ لَمَا تَخَيَّرُونَ, in which you find whatever you desire. أَمْ لَكُمْ أَيْمَانٌ عَلَيْنَا بَالِغَةٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ لَكُمْ لَمَا تَحْكُمُونَ. Or do you have oaths from us, binding on us until the day of judgment? That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O Jews, do you know, or all disbelievers who say that we are going straight to Jannah, who claim that we will have all the comfort in the life in the Akhirah and in our graves, do you have any book that says that Allah took an oath that He is not going to punish you people? إِنَّ لَكُمْ لَمَا تَحْكُمُونَ, that will say that you will have whatever you desire. سَلْهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ بِذَٰلِكَ زَعِيمٌ. A very important question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now go to the kuffar of Quraysh. Those who are saying that in Akhirah we will have all the blessings in Akhirah also, just like we have more wealth than you people in this world, we will have it in the Akhirah also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go and ask them, أَيُّهُمْ بِذَٰلِكَ زَعِيمٌ. Who's responsible for it in the Akhirah? Who takes the responsibility of providing his followers and the rest of the disbelievers with all the comfort in the Akhirah? أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاء. And if no one wants to take that responsibility, then أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاء فَلْيَأْتُوا بِشُرَكَائِهِمْ إِنْ كَانُوا صَادِقِينَ. Do they have partners? Then let them bring their partners who are going to give them the Jannah in the Akhirah. إِنْ كَانُوا صَادِقِينَ, if they are truthful. In simple words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you people have no revelation. You people have no way of proving that you are going to Jannah. And you people cannot even have your idols that you worship guarantee you the Jannah, whereas we have the revelation. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is talking and is receiving he's sending the messages to his prophets and promising us Jannah for the good deeds, for those who will perform the good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising all of this. So where is your promise? Where is your Jawain book? Bring something through which you can prove that you are getting all of these things in Akhirah. And if not, then you people need to follow the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He says, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاء. Do they have partners? Which means they have associated partners, that their partners can prove to them, can at least tell them, not even prove them, just tell them that you will have the Jannah and the comfort in the Akhirah. It reminds me of the most hopeless nation in the world. Most hopeless nation in the world we find in Quran al-Kareem, when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he brought the idols of his people. When they came back, they went out for their celebration. When they came out from the celebration, it was their way that they would normally go to the place where the idol, they would keep the idols. We may call it their place of worship. And then they would worship those idols and then go back home. So when they came back from their celebration, they went to the place where they had kept their idols. And they saw all the idols are broken down. Imagine a nation that comes and sees the ones that they believe these are their Lord, These are their providers, their creator. These are the ones that do everything for them. These are their protectors. And they come back and they find the very same ones are broken down, and now they are going out walking on the streets. مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ Who did this to our idols? Still using the word آلِهَتِنَا. Who did this to our idols? A person is going out to find out who broke the arm of my Lord, who broke the legs of my Lord, and who damaged the house of my Lord. And subhanAllah, they are going out finding who have killed the Lord, in other words. Who can be more hopeless than that nation who are looking for someone who have beaten up the Lord badly, destroyed the Lord, and now these people have to go and make another Lord for themselves because someone already brought these ones that they used to worship. Same thing when we start depending on anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's always hopeless. And we are really not knowing the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes when we start depending on things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We come back and we get back to our work and to our homes as hopeless as that nation, because at the end we find that the person who was supposed to do it for us, he himself has no control over it. Sometimes you go and talk to a person and says, oh, I wish I could do it for you. I wish I could do it. Simply means you went to a person who has no control over the situation. It reminds me of a situation of one of the Tabi'in, rahimahullah. When he was asked by the king, Abdul Malik bin Marwan, do you need anything? He says, no, I don't need anything. You must need some money to make your living. He says, no, I don't need it. He said, everyone asked me for it. All the other scholars came, they asked me for it, I gave it to them. And here, this is for you. He said, if I knew that you own these things, I would ask you for it. But up to this day, I have never even asked for money. As far as the money is concerned, I have never even asked the one who owns it. That means I never even asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me more money than I have. So why should I ask you for it? It reminds me also of one of the Taba' Tabi'in who used to live somewhere in Iraq. Someone from his town was going to Medina Munawwara for Hajj. So he said to that person, my daughter lives in Medina Munawwara. And he told her the direction of her house. And he told him the direction of the house, and he gave him 30 dinar. That give my daughter these 30 dinar. This person took the 30 dinar, he went to Medina Munawwara and started asking everyone about that person and about that lady. And everyone in Medina knew her, because she was very God-fearing, virtuous lady. And people used to go to her for dua. So this person, after he heard all of this about that girl, that woman, he thought, let me give her something also. And he knew that these type of people, if I would go and give it to her, she won't accept it from me. So he took 20 dinars out of his pocket and he added them into that bag. And he closed the bag just the way it was. And he went and gave her the bag that has the 50 dinar in it. She took the bag and she started asking him about her father, how is he doing, the family is doing. And meanwhile, she opened the bag and she is counting the money. She finds 50 dinar in it. She says to him, how is my father doing? He's doing good. Do you see him working too much now? No. She says, I'm surprised. My father getting too much into dunya now. What happened? Because normally he sends me 30 dinar that are enough for me for the whole year. every year during the time of Hajj, he sends me 30 dinar. And he cannot afford to send me more. The only way he would afford to send me more is if he would work more. And he will work extra hours. And if he's working extra hours, that simply means he's hurting his deen, because he wasn't supposed to spend more time for dunya, and he's supposed to spend the rest of the time for deen. Now this person is still quiet. He doesn't want to tell her what he did. She thought about it for a moment and she said, I want to ask you and I want a truthful reply. Did you add anything into this bag? He said, yes. I added 20 dinar into it. She said, you tried to help me, but you hurt me. He said, how come? She says, because I know how my father works. Even if he would have sent me 50 dinar, I would not have accepted it from him. Because I do not want him to work more than what he's supposed to work for dunya. And if I don't need 50 dinar, why would he send me 50? 30 are enough for me. He should just work those many hours that he would give me 30. He has enough for himself. And the rest of the time, he should spend it for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if it was from him, I won't accept it. And I know how honest he is in earnings. So therefore, I do not eat anything except that is earned by my father. And here you put the 20 dinar from your earning. I'm not going to use your money. So he says, okay, take the 20 dinar out and give it to me. He says, no. I don't know which are yours and which are his now. And I'm not going to use something that I don't know where I got it from. I know my father's earning. That's the only thing I would use. And because of this situation now, you take the whole 50 dinar back. I don't need nothing from it. He says, the way she talked to me, she made me cry. I was crying the whole day. And I was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to find a way for me. How can I now help this woman? So I insisted and I started begging her. She says, no, I'm not going to change this rule of my life. Because I know if one doubtful piece of rice will get into my mouth or a sip of water will get into my mouth, that's going to change the whole situation of my life. I will come back to this, what happened to this person and with his, what did he do with this money. I will come back to this in a minute. It reminded me, as we are talking about it, I just remembered something else. Bashir Hafi rahimahullah was one of the great scholars of Islam. Very God-fearing, very virtuous, as nowadays they call them Sufia. Very virtuous man. One day, Imam Muhammad bin Sirin rahimahullah was in his home. And Muhammad bin Sirin was one of the greatest tabi'een. Muhammad bin Sirin rahimahullah was at his home. His son says, a woman came and she knocked at the door. When she knocked at our door, I opened the door. She says, can I talk to your father? I went and said to my father, there is a woman who wants to ask you some question about Islam. She must have some question. He says, okay, call her in. She came in. She asked my father a question. She said, the situation of my heart changed. Can you tell me how can I bring it back to normal? He says, what do you mean? She says, my feelings are not the same as they were before. Before I used to feel a lot of noor in my heart. Now I don't feel that noor anymore. He asked her, did you reduce the amount of tahajjud that you perform? Any nawafil? Any adhkar? No, everything I do is just the way I used to do them. In fact, I try to do more now because I was losing that feeling that I used to have before. So, of course, what a person is going to answer now? What is he going to tell her? So he says his name was Abdullah, the son of Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah. He put his head down, Muhammad Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah. He put his head down and then he left his hand and said to her, you know what's affecting you? Is the sowing of the day that you got the light from the that you the night when you were sowing in the light that you were receiving it, getting it from the king. As soon as she heard this, she got up and left. So the son could not figure out what went between the father and that lady. He asked her, "Dad, what did you tell her?" He says, "First thing, go and follow this woman and tell me where does she go." I followed her and I told, came back and told my father she went to Bishr Hafiz's home. So he said, "Yeah, I knew it must be Bishr Hafiz's sister. No one else will ask this type of question." So now he explained to his son, he says, "She asked me that the situation of her heart changed, and I was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 'Ya Allah, how can she get that situation back? That nur that she was feeling in the previously, how she can get it back?' And I put my head down, and as I was informed, I got a feeling, and I told her about it, that this lady, normally, she only eats what she gets out of her, she sews clothes for people, and she only eats for her own earning. She doesn't eat anything from out of that. One day, as she was sewing, daytime, she can sew only during the daytime. And nighttime, sometime, as she would be sewing it, so if she has the candle, she will do it. If she won't, she can do it. One day, she did not have the candle. King was having some type of program outside of their home that night. So as the king was having the program, they put a lot of light out there. So she said, "It's a good opportunity for me." So getting the light, that light into her home, she started sewing the clothes in that light. I told her, and this is what I was informed, and I told her, and she accepted it, that because the dress that she saw in the light of the king, she got from the king, and the earnings she got from that, eating that thing just changed the situation of her heart. It wasn't as clean and pure as she would get it normally. So just eating that thing changed the situation of her heart. Subhanallah. It looks like we are talking about some other world. Those people were living somewhere else. Some other creation. Some other deen. But really, we are talking about our own people. And not of people of previous religions. We are talking about the followers of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately, we don't really know who these people were. If we would really know who these people were and learn these type of things about these people, at least will give us an idea how to live as Muslims. We will learn from them how to live as Muslims. So I was saying about that person, after getting the 50 dinar, he went back and he said to that person, now he wants to return those 30 dinars at least to that person who gave him the dinar. He went back to him and he said, "This is what I did. I made a mistake. I added 20 dinars into it. So here, take back your 30 dinars. He says, "I won't take it because I only eat what I earn. But I took 20 dinars out of it. You don't know which ones you took out. So I'm not going to take it." He said, "I had to beg him for a long time before he would tell me that go and give everything out in the as a charity, fi sabilillah." And he said, "This is what I did with it." So subhanallah, there are so many virtuous people like that in the world and past in this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us all of these things, that remember, this is the virtue, this is God-fearingness. And this is when the people have relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Sirat al-Mustaqim. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to be God-fearing people and to have piety and taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as those sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, tabi'in, and the great people of the ummah had it. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. There are a few hadiths here from Sunan al-Tirmizi about the names. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, the dearest names to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. Because both of these names, one name, Abdullah, has the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the greatest name of Allah. And Abdurrahman has the greatest quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the best quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Ar-Rahman. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the worst name to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any name that will mean Malikul Amlak. And then he also says, translated as Shahanshah, which means the King of the Kings. Any name that will say King of Kings is a name that is hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the King of all the kings. Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu, Aisha radiyallahu anha tells us, whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to find a person with a name that has a bad meaning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to change the name to a name that has a good meaning in it. Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu tells us that a person once, a woman came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when she embraced Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her of her name. She said, my name is Asiya. This is not Asiya with alif and seen. This is Asiya with ayn and sad. Asiyan is sinning. Asiya means sinner. The disobeying one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed her name from Asiya and he said, Anti Jamila, your name is Jamila. Jamila means pretty. So it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's habit that whenever he would hear a name that has a bad meaning in it, he would always change it to a good name. And at the same time, we find in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us the names have effect on the person. Different names have different effect on the person. That's why Sa'id bin al-Musayyib rahimahullah used to say that when my father went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name was Hazan, if I remember correctly at this time, which means hardship or sourness and hardship. So I said, my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to change his name to Sahal, but my father did not want to change the name. And he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my father named me Hazan, so I want to keep it. He said, okay, you keep it. Sa'id bin Musayyib rahimahullah says, because of that, we always in our family have hardships and sorrowness. We always go through hardships because of the effect of that name that my father rejected to change the name from Hazan to Sahal. So these names, the names that we have, they have their own effect. It reminds me of an incident that I read it in the history of the life history of Umar radiallahu anhu, that a person came and complained to him about his son. So he called the son and he was very upset. So when his son came and Umar radiallahu anhu repeated all the complaints in front of his son, so his son said, do you think it's my fault? It's my father's fault. He said, why? He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that find a good mother for your children. And if you find out who my mother is, then that's the first mistake my father made. And really, many times, especially at a young age, children do not think what they are doing to themselves. They just, at that time, they become emotional and they find a woman for themselves that really, if they would really think about it, is not something that they themselves will think is suitable for them for next 30, 40 years and to raise their children. It was only 2 days back, believe me, only 2 days back, I received a call from New York City. A woman is asking the question. She says, a person who got married to a woman, and he always says because she is Ahlul Kitab, it's allowed to marry her, and now they have children, the woman takes the children to the church. She's asking me a question. Is it allowed for that man to send these children to church? I said, of course not. He says, but she doesn't want to listen. She says, if you have the right to take them to the masjid, why don't I have a right to take them to church? So this is what he said. He did not pick the right mother for me. And the second thing was, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, choose a good name for your children. And the name my father has chosen for me, and he said the name meant the stool of a human being. When Umar radiallahu anhu heard it, he said to the father, he said, what your son is saying is true and it's really your mistake. You chose a name like that for him. This is why he's acting like that. So it's not his fault. It's your fault. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمين.